Hello, everyone. I'm Eugene Porter de Leon, and welcome to episode 121 of In Tech We Trust. Now, for 120 episodes, the distinguished members of the show have come on each week to give you their thoughts on the news events that have been shaping the technology landscape. But it's been a few weeks. Where do we all go? We decided to take a pause, reflect on where we wanted the show to go, how we best wanted to provide you, the listener, with, well, more. More substance, more depth, more than just people opining on the week's news with a vague sense of alacrity. And as Bob Dylan famously said it in his 1964 classic, the times, well, they are changing. And that's the theme of our show this week, change. How do you know when change is coming? Is it good or bad? And what do you do about it? And this show is now produced in the new format that we hope will change the way we engage with all of you. Do you know that according to the Occupational Employment Statistics Program, roughly 2 million jobs have been added to the technology sector in the last 15 years? That's change I'm sure you've felt. And more jobs in tech are expected to come as technology changes the way we do pretty much, well, everything. In that same period, the technology-laden NASDAQ index has risen from about 1,200 to over 6,000, hitting record highs seemingly every week. Companies all over the world have had to change in the wake of the new digital business landscape. And the people that work there, all of you, have had to change as well. On this show, we'll talk with members of the podcast to get their thoughts on this topic and also find out where they've been all this time. So where's Lauren in that exorcist voice?
I don't even think people know the careers that they can have in IT until they're, you know, neck deep in what they're doing and networking with other people. I probably still don't even know what career options are available, you know?
Some of you out there need your weekly fix of Mark and his, hey now!
And I just sat up in bed and it's like, what the hell am I doing? What I should do is call Don and talk to him about working at Equalogic.
El Rickachon, what's the deal, man?
I went from being that end user to working for a vendor, and that changed everything. And that made me take a different look at what a cloud is and how to use it.
And what country is Gabriel in this week? Oh, yeah, and what happened to that British guy? Yeah, did ever happen to him?
In tech we trust. We're not sure about.
But first, I had the chance to talk to Keith Townsend at CTO Advisor on Twitter about the changing landscape of the technology sector and what that means for companies in that space. But more importantly, what changes can tech workers expect to see in what's expected from them and how can they be prepared for that change? Hello, Keith. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So with your eyes on the horizon, as I know you have them there, and seeing what's coming in the new technology space. We had a chance to talk at VMworld last year, and I want to get a sense from you, what are the new trends that are coming that are going to really change the way that technology companies and those leaders there need to change the way that they do things, and how are they going to prepare for that?
So there's this theme of consolidation and simplification of infrastructure, abstraction of that infrastructure to provide that as services to developers, and not just developers, but APIs to service providers. So the big change, I think, in the industry is this abstraction of IT services, and those IT services being consumed, I think, in a completely different way than they have in the past. It's probably the high level 50,000 foot view of how things are changing.
Interesting. So when you say that the way that those services are being consumed, there were people there in the capacity to help people consume those services. So just to put a face on that changing trend, maybe we'll start from a leadership perspective. How is that going to shift that view of how those services are going to be consumed, how I can prepare myself for an API-based service architecture, and what's that going to look like from from a strategic plan perspective? How do I map that out in my mind?
Well, that's one of the toughest problems that this business challenged, because the transition to that, unlike previous transitions when we went from open systems and IBM mainframe type solutions to client server and then even a portion of cloud, the technology underneath more or less shifted and moved with the service delivery. Client server was a different model, and that mainframe world shrunk. That's not happening necessarily in this model. Enterprises are not shrinking the shrink wrap offerings, for the most part. You know, we might have migrations of Exchange to Office, but people aren't wholesale abandoning their Oracle, SAP apps. They're keeping those, and they're needing to have the staff to execute on that. And those services or those product or solutions may not ever get consumed in an API service manner. Whereas net new stuff, or even some of the old stuff, let's take messaging and collaboration, that is going to be consumed as an API or as a service in an enterprise. And you need a different skill set and sometimes a different organization to handle that. So I think one of the big questions in front of executives are, you know what, do I create a bimodal IT mode in which I have a cloud group and a legacy platform group, deal with the aftermath of morale and everything that comes with that? Or do I go with a mixed mode environment in which I'm training my old team or my existing team in these new ways of delivering services and this new way of thought? That is a real tough challenge.
Yeah, and I imagine the solution really is going to be a mixed bag, as we see with any of these kind of shifts in the way that companies do things. We see that it's not just a one solution. There's usually always the shades of, you know, of gray in between those two different extremes that you just outlined right there, from a bimodal to to a retrain, and there's going to be a bunch of different things in between there. So I think that's a good transition point to start talking about how this affects the people who work in these teams. And if I'm someone who is looking at what I do and starting to see people in the news or other colleagues start to refer to that as legacy, which kind of sends chills down some people's spine when they realize they're the ones who are in charge of what's being called legacy. What's sort of that first step that they should take, just from a cerebral perspective? How should that person, if they want to then move forward or be a part of the change, or they're really enthusiastic, and I'm assuming someone who's listening to this is interested in actually putting that effort into doing what they need to do to be prepared for that change, what's that shift in that mindset need to happen, and what steps should that person be taking?
So a really tough kind of disassociation that we have to make in the practitioner portion of this. Many of us, a measure of our technical capability can be certification or a product learned via certification. So in the past, I used something like the AWS architecture path to measure how much I know about AWS, or to prove to someone else how much I know about AWS, the configuration of the technology, the design of it, the architecture. And in this new environment, you know, we kind of have to throw that we have to throw that association out the window and come at it with, you know what, the value that we bring is very similar to the value that someone in marketing brings. Sure, there's measurements, but not the same measurements that we have in IT that we've kind of clustered onto. We need to start having conversations with business users. And we need to start to understand not just the technology that drives the business, but the business that consumes the technology, and I think which is starting to actually drive the technology for a change. So while it sounds simple, it's not really that easy of a process. It's, you know, if I'm a server administrator or if I'm a network switch, if I've spent, you know, my years configuring network switches, what conversation do I have with a business user exactly. Like, hey, you've seen that latest Cisco Cli? You know, what's that conversation? I think is the hardest part of that question.
Yeah, and I think so. Just initiating in conversations, because a lot of the times, the value in isn't really apparent before you start that conversation. You really have to initiate with the people, you know, who consume the service, so that you can understand what the need is. And then on the other side, from what I'm taking from you, is understanding that technology, understanding what that technology shift is. And if you understand those two, what the technology shift and the business need is, then you can start to chart your path and say, I want to go in this direction. I want to learn more about, you know, whether it's NSX or whatever, you know, whatever looks like, you know, whatever it looks like that business needs to go to, or even find where that business needs to go to and be the one who actually drives that change and maybe even getting ahead of it. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it opens up a new world of opportunity to you. It's, you know, as we learned the value of abstractions throughout computer science, you know, when we first meet abstraction, our normal pushback is, wait, I really enjoyed being able to control where the memory went to in the OS or physical memory. And then once we realized that abstraction allowed us to do more and we start to trust the abstraction, then it expands our worldview. The same thing with these business conversations. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm comfortable with my own world. I know how to get packet A from site one to site two, and that's all I need to know. But once we abstract that away and start having that business conversation, again, it expands our worldview. And we come up with extremely compelling technical solutions to these business challenges. And we offer value in ways that we never thought or never even imagined we could. Not even the thought. It's, we just didn't know it existed until there was an abstraction. We didn't know we could do some of the things that we could do until that abstraction happened. And this is the same thing in the business conversation.
No, and I think that point can't be stressed enough. And I think that's worth highlighting that capabilities open up those possibilities, and you don't know what those possibilities, and so you really start to delve into what the capabilities are. And those who are comfortable getting packet A, they don't know what those possibilities are until they start digging into it. And once they do, then their eyes are open. So it's just taking that step and starting to, you know, as you know, as crazy or as, you know, uncomfortable as that may be for some people, get out of that comfort zone, find out what the capabilities are, and you'll find out that possibility. I think that's a key point to highlight there.
Yep. The challenge for executives down to the practitioners is leaving the comfort zones, offering services from IT that you never expected that you'd offer, and then from a practitioner perspective, embracing those services. You know, we'll find ourselves as network engineers, as server administrators, as virtualization administrators, we'll find ourselves supporting or offering solutions that we just, you know, from a just capability perspective, to your point, that we never thought was possible.
Well, it's great. Well, thanks, Keith, for joining us and talking about the changes that businesses will need to make and what they should be looking at on the horizon. I appreciate you joining the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mr. DeLeon. Porter DeLeon.
Thanks, Keith.
First up, I'm here with Lauren Malhoit, at Malhoit on the Twitters, to talk about the most significant change moment in her tech career and explore how she was able to see the need for change at that moment and find out what she did about it. Lauren, hey, how are you doing? A lot of change happening in your world right now.
Yeah, I feel like the last few months have just been kind of topsy-turvy, but it's been good. I started a new job. I'm still at Cisco, but working on TechWise TV with my co-host Rob Boyd. So we literally have a TV series that's put on the internet. It's on like NBC primetime or anything. But, you know,
yeah, it's not going to be like a Good Morning America time slot competing right. with them head to head.
Maybe next year. Maybe that'll be a goal for us. Yeah. But Excellent. Yeah, it's basically like a 20-minute show where we, you know, talk about a certain solution, usually Cisco, obviously. But yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. No, that's fantastic. So today, is as we've had the theme for change, you know, we've needed to change the format of the show. So this is actually, for those listening, the first segment we're recording in the new format. We wanted to dig into each of the people who are on In Tech We Trust and find out what was the biggest change moment in your tech career, if you've got one at the top of your head, and kind of how did you see it coming? Do you have one of those?
I do. You know, there are actually several, I think, but I'll just choose one because you guys don't want to listen to me talk about my career for half an hour. But yeah, I would say definitely that, you know, I moved from being a customer to a partner, but the most significant move was actually from being like a channel partner to a vendor. And, you know, as a channel partner, I was both post-sales and pre-sales for a little while. And I just knew that wasn't for me. I think that it's a great job for people that really enjoy being totally customer facing. But I just couldn't find that right niche for me. I didn't want to be turning all the nerd knobs, but I didn't want to be a salesperson either. So I knew for me that was the point I needed to start looking for something else. And that kind of landed me in a technical marketing role, which I think is probably perfect for what I'm interested in doing, and as well as, you know, my actual talents. They say kind of you should concentrate on the things that you're good at and not try and get better at the things that you're bad at, you know?
And did you see that coming? And did you find that? Because that's always the toughest moment, to know what's that moment where you need to change, when you kind of start looking around you and say, you know, this isn't working for me. Did you feel that? Was that a long time coming, or was it a ton of bricks that kind of smacked you on the head?
No, it was a long time coming. It was months of, you know, interviews and networking and just trying to get the hell out of there. But that could have been the actual job itself too, the company. But anyway, it was definitely months. And I tend to do that. This is kind of the first time I've even stuck with the same company this long. So maybe I'm a bit of a job hopper, but, you know, I've been climbing the ladder for the last 15 years now. So it's expected that you kind of job hop a bit, you know, when you're starting out in help desk and then moving on to, you know, administration and engineer and all of that good stuff. So those were all just kind of climbing the ladder. And then it became quickly like, what career do I really want? And I don't even think people know the careers that they can have in IT until they're, you know, neck deep in what they're doing and networking with other people. I probably still don't even know what career options are available, you know?
Yeah, and you're also talking to the guy who literally has never had the same job title twice in a row.
Well, there you go.
we're both familiar. Yeah, I understand that. And so did you kind of feel that, like, just the walls kind of closing in around you, like, before you started looking? Or is it, like you said, it's basically you get in there, you get in the trenches, mm-hmm. and you figure out, you know, hey, maybe I want to do this. And you start doing it, you're like, nope, I don't think I want to do this. Is that basically how it went?
That is exactly how it went. And it wasn't all bad. There were things that I enjoyed. But yeah, when I started dreading, you know, going to a certain customer's data center or whatever, I knew that just, I couldn't maintain that for any, you know, significant length of time. So I needed something that I only hated, you know, 10 or 15% of the time, not 50%.
That's a good, No, 50-50, make me change that to 90-10.
Right. Ratio. I mean, there's always going to be something you don't totally enjoy doing, you know, whether that's expense reports or, you know, whatever, whether it's your weekly meeting with someone. But for the most part, you know, yeah, exactly. For the most part, it's pretty good. And so, I've really enjoyed kind of that technical marketing. It keeps me technical, but I'm not really the one, you know, spinning the nerd knobs and diving deep on every little feature and every little product.
So for those, you know, who are looking to make that change, who might feel it, you know, that that the walls closing in, or feel that creeping feeling like they might want to do something, what's that? Mm-hmm. What do you feel like that first step you did was? Like, what's the first thing?
And I don't even know.
For advice, maybe what you did, or maybe advice to them is, don't do this, or.
Right. Don't do what I did. No, I would say there wasn't even one thing that I started doing. It was, the more things I kept doing kind of as extracurriculars. So, you know, you start going to VMUGs or any user groups, right? And then I started blogging, and I actually got paid to blog. So I was kind of double dipping. I just, you know, I got paid to do my job, and then I blogged about it. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, nice.
And it gives you a little notoriety too, rather than just having, you know, your own blog. You get a lot more viewership, things like that. And then I think just anything you can do, like I wrote books and I've made Pluralsight courses, and anything you can do to kind of practice what you want to do in the future is helpful. So for me, you know, technical marketing, I knew it was going to be a lot of collateral creation. So creating videos, creating white papers, creating blogs, et cetera, you know, all the things that
being on podcasts.
Yeah. That was a huge one. Being able to talk to other people is a talent and can be practiced.
Oh, yeah, we could dive deep into that one. Just mm-hmm. being able to talk to other people.
Right. And you can practice it too. So, you know, giving presentations, all of that, I think, goes into making you, it doesn't necessarily make you a better technical person, you know, but it makes you better at the soft skills. And again, all of that can be practiced in my mind. Writing is a muscle, you know, presenting is kind of a muscle. You just have to build it.
And so I guess that was your change in moment, Lauren. Any other last thoughts for those looking to make that change?
You know, do some real networking with people. You know, Yadin, for instance, is an amazing guy to have in your corner. I'm not giving away your phone number or anything, but, you know, you opened doors for me. A lot of people have opened doors for me just because I talk to them. And that's really, I think, the key to pretty much any job, networking.
Well, thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Yadin. I really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun.
Up next, we sit with Mark Farley.
Hey now.
At GoFarley on the Twitters to talk about his view on the new direction of the show and also discuss his tech career change event. Mark, how have you been, and what do you think about the new direction of the show?
Well, I don't know that we have a new direction of the show, right? So, I mean, we're trying to figure that out, and it may be that you know, who knows what's going to happen with the show?
Change is crazy.
Yeah, change can you know, aggregate stuff, and it can break stuff up, and you know, there's all kinds of things that can happen with change. And you know, what I think the big thing that happens with change is that people sort of wake up and they say, well, you know, it could be a whole new world, or it can be a whole different thing, right? And it can be a continuation of everything that's gone on, but it can be something different. And that's something that, you know, as individuals are presented with change events and change opportunities, sometimes you have no choice, and sometimes you have a choice, and there you go. So, you know, we'll be figuring that out with respect to the show.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting how it develops. But I feel like we're heading in a good direction. Sometimes change is just a chance to give you a new direction and feel like you're making positive progression. And even though sometimes it's a bit scary and you don't quite know where you're going to end up, it's kind of part of the journey. Sometimes it's, you know, you don't get answers. Sometimes you just get journeys.
I mean, some things aren't consistent though, right? So, I mean, you know, if we're talking, if we're going to be really, you know, blunt here or whatever, blunt might not be the right word, but, you know, for instance, change in the show. One of the things that I'm interested in doing is not being the opiner and not being the subject matter expert, not being the talker, but being more of a journalist that asks other people questions and having lots of guests and that sort of thing, right? So yeah. in terms of that, this episode for me is like not at all aligned with that.
Yeah, I think this is just a transition. So we're working out, you know, sort of logistics, figuring out how we're going to organize a show, how it gets cut different, and really just how we're going to deliver value. So, and I like that idea of journalists and uncovering more substance in some of the trends and themes and stories that we talk about, where we do go and we go out and we find out more instead of simply getting on reading, you know, this is the story for the week. Let me opine on, you know, this and that, and what do I think, and what's a bit of history, which, you know, which I think provides some value, but I think people listening deserve a little bit more, and I think we need to dig a little bit more, and I think, like you said, we need to act a little bit more like journalists and uncover more value than simply what is offered up, you know, just via the headline.
Yeah, so for our listeners, the change could be, right? We don't know this, but the change could be that it's less of us reacting to the news and more of us trying to dig deep and provide more interesting content that may be able to help you. Not, you know, not just perspective on the industry and not just humor, but something that might actually be interesting. And you can find out more about the technologies that, that are out there and the applications for it and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah. Connecting the dots, putting the pieces together. I think we've got a great opportunity here. So keeping with that too, do you have a point in your tech career too, which is one of the underlying themes of the show, which is talking about change events? Do you have one of those in your tech career, Mark, where you knew it was just time for a change? You had to shift, you had to go to a different direction, you knew things were getting stale, you had to mix it up, or you had to feel like you were stagnant and you had to move forward?
Yeah, I had been a somewhat not a very good analyst in marketing services company. After I wrote Building Storage Networks, sold a lot of books, by the way. That was a lot of books sold. And for a while, I was able to... just kind of cruise on that. But, you know, it's funny for a marketing guy, the thing that I don't like to do is market myself. I really don't like that. I mean, even to the point of writing a resume, and a resume is one of those change things, right? If you want to change, you need to write a resume, and there's all kinds of advice you can get on writing resumes and the kinds of things you need to put in there. But I really hate pimping myself out. I mean, I just hate it. It's silly, right? Because you kind of feel that, you know, somebody should be able to see what you've done, see your body of work, and be able to tell what you can do. But of course, HR people are really quite incapable of that. HR people, you know, want to be fed the big heaping spoonful of shit, you know, and so...
tell me how you really feel, Mark.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing around, that's the thing around change. And I think, you know, to some degree, you know, we've seen changes in the industry when the storage industry was really a big boom industry, you know, and, you know, they always say you should be able to build your career through connections and whatnot. I did that. And so I'll talk about my change moment that goes back to sort of a starting of that for me in just a second. But I think the industry has changed now. You know, the storage industry is not the same kind of boom. We've seen a lot of consolidation going on. And as consolidation happens, things get sucked up into big companies. And when that happens, then you get big company HR organizations in there, and the types of screening that they do is completely different than, like, I know this guy knows me, or, you know, this person knows me, and they know the kind of work that I do, the way that I do that work. That stuff doesn't really matter as much in an industry that is more mature. So I'm going to go back and answer your question. What was the change event? It was when I was being an independent person, and I decided, and part of it for me is I didn't really have the passion. When you are an analyst, you don't really sit on any technology and try to drive it. And after 7 years being self-employed and not actually having any product to champion or any business to champion or anything, I really decided that it was time for a change. And what happened is it was a really interesting thing. I was thinking of going to work for an analyst company, right? I had been approached by a few analyst company, and I was looking at options for doing that. And just one day I woke up, and my friend Don Bulins was the CEO at Equalogic. And I know Don from backpacking trips and things, you know, outside of the industry. And to some degree, I helped him get his job at Equalogic by coaching him on how to do the interview process with the board there, you know, of what it takes to be a CEO in a storage business, because Don hadn't been in the storage industry before. Right. So I knew Don, and Don had been asking me to join his company. And I'm saying, no, I don't want to do that. I'm fine. I really like this self-employment thing. But then I was looking at going to work for an analyst. But one day I woke up in bed, and it was just like getting shocked. It was like it was like hearing a clap of thunder or something like that. I mean, it really had that kind of thing. And I just sat up in bed. And it's like, what the hell am I doing? What I should do is call Don and talk to him about working at Equalogic. Right. And I did. I called him that morning, and it was one of those things. It was like if it had been religion, you would call it a calling. You know, it was just one of those things. It was just, I woke up, and it was so freaking obvious to me that was the change I needed to make. So then we made that happen.
That epiphany, that moment where you knew it was time to act. And for some people, that's like a long progression where you just kind of feel like you're grinding and grinding and grinding and finally get to that point of the attrition has finally, you know, gotten you to a crossroads. versus what it sounds like you were really, it was more of like a lightning just struck.
It was an epiphany. And in that sense, it was a little scary. It was a little scary because it was so obvious to me. All of a sudden, you know, emotionally, intellectually, and everything, it just lined up. And it's like, what the hell have you been doing? And I'll say this, I've not had anything like that since or before.
Oh, that's interesting.
The scary part was having so much instant clarity and wondering what the hell I had been thinking before. That was the scary part. The scary part was not what to do next. The scary part was, what have I been doing and why?
Interesting.
Yeah. That was what was scary.
I think for a lot of people that can be scary, especially when they feel like they've been going the wrong direction for a long time, and they might feel like they're thinking they're going the right direction, and you get that epiphany that they're actually not. And that's the toughest thing to know is this right? Have I been doing the right thing? Or when I thought I was doing the right thing before, it's not the case anymore. And having to pivot it could be overwhelming.
I think we've all had regrets, and we've had regrets about change, and some of you have regrets about, you know, past choices or whatever you make, but you know, you can't hold those very long. You shouldn't harbor those very long because they're destructive.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Mark. It was great.
Thanks, Yadid. It was a lot of fun today.
Up next, we sit down with Rick Vanover. Rick Vanover on the Twitters, also known as Rickatron, to talk about his tech career change event and other things. Rick, how have things been with you?
Oh, it's been busy, guys. And, you know, for the listeners hitting us up on Twitter, that excuse of busy is getting old. But we're going with the new format. So hopefully we can be up and in your ear a little bit more often.
That's right, providing a little bit more value to those looking at understanding a little more in depth of what's going on in the tech industry and with the people in it. So in keeping with that, what was that moment for you like when the clouds opened up and a great ray of light shined down upon you, or maybe you had another sign that it was time for a change?
You know, honestly, Yadin, it was when I made my last job change. So in 2010, I joined Veeam, and, you know, whatever. That by itself is not so much a significant event, but for the Rickatron in particular, I went from being that end user to working for a vendor, and that changed everything. And that made me take a different look at what a cloud is and how to use it and all those different things. And it kind of put me, in a sense, a little bit more progressive on some of the different technologies. And I look back to where I was when I was an end user, and then I look to the priorities and technologies that I know today, and I realize that it's a lot harder to think outside the box sometimes before. So everything changed when I went to a vendor when it comes to the practicality of things like, should we still be using an AS400 for that? And should I build a data center or build this app in the cloud? Those types of questions, if I were to deal with those questions today, I'd handle them a lot differently.
Was that a big positive shift, or when you first made that change shift, was that kind of scary, or because you weren't used to being on that?
That's the vendor side. It's very scary. In fact, you know, a lot of anyone who's like done like the tech field days, or you get to blogging, there's going to be an inevitable point where you'll have to make a career decision of, do you stay independent or do you become a blogger? Or to be work for a vendor. And you can get a little bit more boxed in if you stay working for like a reseller or an integration provider, right? Partner type of organization. But, you know, look at like the top blogs in a lot of these different communities, the IT communities that we all have feed in, right? And the top blogs are always dominated by, you know, independent people gone to the vendors. You know, those types of things. So that was my change moment, and it made me change how I look at the technologies, but also how I approach a career, how I approach interacting with other people. And then there's some consequences with that, right? You know, you got to be careful what you say in the public realm. You know, you're basically officially, unofficially representing a company, right? Whereas you're truly independent, you have a lot more freedom, right? So those things kind of change. And then there's always that perceived bias that, you know, comes up into discussions. Well, this person likes that, and that person is not a partner with that company, so they're not going to like that. So those types of consequences, it was a big change, but it really opened up my eyes to all of the different technology. And it was more of a personal thing, but it changed how I look at the technology things, if that makes any sense.
No, that does make sense. And I think you had a technology story to weave into that as well.
I did. And, you know, you look at technologies that are changing, right? And I know we talk a lot about things that are coming and going. And, like, you know, I think we got some news that the Windows smartphone is kind of definitely almost entirely on the way out. And
it's going the way of RIM, maybe?
In the way of what Microsoft is doing with the S8 from Galaxy, the Samsung Galaxy S8, you can actually get basically that can even be sold from Microsoft, apparently, and that is pretty interesting. And Samsung's always had an interesting relationship with Microsoft. Like, I have an older Note device, and it has full-blown Word and OneNote and all the Microsoft apps. It's actually incredibly wonderful and collaborative, especially if you're all in with like OneDrive and the like. But I kind of think that I'm really excited for this Galaxy S8 phone. And I think that, you know, the mobile productivity is really important with phones today. It's kind of hard to go without that. Not really related to my personal career change, but it kind of is, in that it's kind of scary how productive you can be just on your phone today. And then if you take like a complete integrated experience like this Galaxy S8 with a full-blown Microsoft customization, it's something that the Ricochon is all over.
Yeah, and that it's funny because when people change, like when I changed from Android to an iPhone, it's extremely personal. Or like when I changed from a PC to a Mac, it's an extremely personal experience, that whole mobile device ecosystem. Where are you working? Where are your people who care about working? How do you like to sort of visually, you know, organize your world? It's and it's funny, even when something new comes out that lets you be more productive, it's like this real positive change.
It is. A couple of years ago, I was an iPad tablet user, an Android phone user, and a Windows PC user, and I was actually totally good because the apps I needed were consistent across all of them. Now, I did not replace the iPad. I went to a Surface, right? So now I've gone Android, Windows.
Not the latest Surface.
Oh, no, definitely. Ricochon is, you know, N-2 on the Surfaces for sure. Yeah. But it really becomes a similar OS right there. So that, for my personal, you know, technology inventory, this Galaxy Microsoft customization on the S8 is really appealing, right? But again, if I had to use an iPad, or if I had to use a Mac OS device, I would probably figure it out. But it's just not me, man.
Well, I think that was great, Rick. It was good hearing about your change event. It's interesting seeing all different people's perspectives on sort of the new direction of the show and the way that we're organizing things. And it'll be interesting how things shape up moving forward.
Yeah, it's been good, Yadin. And give us some feedback on Twitter, everyone. Let us know what you think.
And that's our show. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so on iTunes or the podcatcher of your choice. And leave us a review, if you will. It helps others find us. And we want to hear from you, your story ideas, your thoughts on the tech world, and what you're doing as well, so that we can make this show as relevant to your daily tech life as possible. So hit us up on the Twitter @intech_wetrust and give us your thoughts. See you next time.